I thought the scariest part of The Shining was the font.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Kia ora, Steve.
Kia ora. Some very appropriate lead-in music.
Yeah.
Just then.
Great opportunity.
Also, like, well, I mean, why not anyway? Why not just have a bit of earth?
We've got this sweet bed, but should we play some earth?
Yeah, let's do that. I mean, every time, really, eh? Why not?
This was from a big old album. Came out 2008. The Bees Made Honey in the Lion's Skull.
Oh, this is a goodie. I'd say crank it way up, but then you'd hear my voice way up, and I think you probably just want to hear Earth at very loud volumes rather than...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you don't have to agree with me. Come on, man. The reason this is appropriate is it's New Zealand International Film Festival time. My viewing today was a documentary on the band Earth called...
Oh, wow, today. Fresh.
Yeah, Even Hell Has Its Heroes. This was a pretty interesting film to go and see in the kind of middle of the day. Unfortunately, it doesn't have any more plays currently scheduled, but I'm sure you'll find a way to re-encounter this film in the future. Not really necessarily a home run, but just nice to see, hear the story of the band, as kind of sad as some of it is, see some great footage. It's mostly filmed on film, so it looks great. I think the problem there is that they haven't really done a lot of live audio recording. So you sort of, it's one of those docos where you really love the band, you love the music, but you're hearing the versions of the music that you're probably a little
bit familiar with. Yeah.
Or maybe they're bored recordings from shows, but it's just been edited in a way that it's like, yeah, I can tell you didn't hit that string at that time.
Yes.
So probably the big disappointment with the pick, but definitely nice to see the environment that band has existed in, both physically and kind of culturally.
What's the general arc of the story?
Sort of evolving into this idea of space, of playing really slow, of letting things ring out. He talks to the main dude. The main dude from Earth, Dylan Carlson, talks about liking how blues artists might actually like turn a good riff into a half-hour song, but a band like Rush be like, "Oh, that's a good riff. Oh, hang on, why didn't you just keep playing that riff?" And then you also add some heroin, and it all starts to make a bit more sense.
Good mates with Cobain, right?
Yeah, and there's a section of the film that addresses that sort of addresses the post Kurt Cobain effect, both on the band and Dylan himself, also on Aberdeen, the town, which there's sort of this little montage of all the places that have little like signs up about Kurt, some of which are, "This is not a gift shop, this is a house." So I think they get a lot of tourists, you know, on the pilgrimage. But good one for fans anyway. I don't think that with the sort of tempo of this film has itself and the tempo of their music, I don't think this is necessarily something to drag someone along to that doesn't already know what they
are in for.
Very much one for the fans. But over the past week, a few recommends have presented themselves. I'm going to try and largely stick to things that you still have an opportunity to see where possible. So tonight at 8 p.m. Rialto Newmarket, there's a screening of Bobby Wine, The People's President. This is essentially one of a number of political or sort of quasi-military docos that I've had a run of this festival. This is set in Uganda, and it follows a... guy who grew up in the slums, became a pop star, then an aspiring politician, and ended up running for president. Only problem is the guy who's running against the president has been president for 35 years. And as you'll see through all sorts of fair and foul means, doesn't really want to stop being president.
Yes.
So it's quite grim. It's quite grim when I sort of positioned it against some other documentaries I saw. I saw a film called The Grab a few days previously, which... the sort of geopolitical competition by big powerful nations to get resources in Africa was quite a big part of that film. Mm-hmm. So you kind of can't help but line those two things up a little bit. There's a corrupt dude being propped up. He's probably being propped up by outside forces to some extent. No, is anyone really going to come and intervene? No, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
So Bobby Wine, the people's president, that's definitely a good watch. The King Loser screenings have been and gone, but I think the reaction to that film's been so positive that optimistically we'll get more chances to see it.
Okay,
it plays really well in a theatre. Saw that on Friday night at its world premiere.
How was the band afterwards?
Yeah, Cash Guitar was good. I think this is a really nice, just a nice re-up, I guess, for Chris Hazlewood.
Mm-hmm.
A reminder about what's going on there, and some hopefully a bunch of stonking shows coming up in the future. But
yes, who was in the band? Was it a superstar?
It was sort of a bit of a rotating cast in the band, and frankly, I couldn't see them very well.
All right, up top, sitting so, up top.
That's my informed review of the band.
Yes.
I said I'd keep this to things that you get a chance to see. Unfortunately, this one, this next one, you won't get to see again as part of the festival unless some additional screenings are announced. However, in the context of new indictments being issued against the former president of the United States today, this one's quite relevant. The film's called A Storm Foretold, and it was a Danish filmmaker following political shit stirrer Roger Stone around for about a year or so, right up to the day of the Jan 6 attack on the Capitol.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the footage, well, the film's footage ended up being subpoenaed into the Jan 6 investigation, so became part of this public record, and identified, sort of connected some of the dots that either confirming things they already suspected or providing new information there. So it's kind of it's a really interesting film. If you know Roger Stone, you should be grimly fascinated and desperate to see this. No doubt these docos will kind of find a way to your living room at some point. Caught Kim's video yesterday, which I'd been quite excited about in advance. This is the story of the 50,000 tape video collection,
which was bought by someone in a weird European country.
Yeah, it was as the rental stores shut down, the collection was given away with a few stipulations, like members still had to be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
It had to be kept as one collection. With criteria like that, you'd think it might just move a few blocks across the city.
This should be like the story of the BFM vinyl collection.
Well, I don't
just
know.
Just one collector?
I think I won't give too much away, but I don't know if we want the BFM vinyl going to the mafia.
Why did the mafia end up with these tapes?
Well,
that's so weird.
It's a really good story here.
Okay.
I wasn't necessarily sold on the sort of storytelling approach to the documentary. It seemed quite very much from the personal perspective of one person, but that ends up kind of being justified in the back end of the pick. So those are some of the standouts. Who knows when we'll get another chance to see those films, but keep an eye out. Over the next few days, I've got a bit of a run of kind of bigger screen, quite trad fest kind of experiences.
Have you seen the Wes Anderson film?
No, I haven't seen the Wes Anderson film.
How's the general buzz around that?
Good, bad, and you know Wes Anderson.
Yes.
So
this is a Wes Anderson film.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I that's sort of what I anticipated, so I just kind of booked some other stuff knowing that I'd get another chance to see it soon. Tonight I'm seeing what is being tipped as one of the highlights of the festival. This is Celine Song's film Past Lives, debut feature, already being talked about as one of the best films of the year, full stop. This is a film about two childhood pals who reunite as adults, and the connection that they still feel and the implications that has for their lives, shimmering with melancholic longing, says the festival program. So one very kind of big event of the civic territory here.
Yes.
And similarly, tomorrow I'm going to check out May December. This is the new film from Todd Haynes, starring Natalie Portman and Julianne Moore. Dark comedy about an actor who's researching the life of someone who she's about to play in a biopic, who was notorious for having an affair with a teenage boy.
Okay.
Hey, look, it's the film festival. Let's get weird. on Saturday, How to Have Sex. This is one of the big another one of the big debut features out of Cannes Film Festival. One that, in certain regard, prize at Cannes this year. And this follows a bunch of it's kind of a coming of age party tale of a bunch of English kids, English teenagers, having their first holiday unsupervised and getting up to mischief. Director Molly Walker is in Auckland for the festival and will be at the screening on Saturday, so it'll be good to find out a bit more about that. And then you don't really think about 3D movies at the film festival context very often.
They always seem a bit trashy.
They do seem a bit trashy. But I'm looking forward on Sunday afternoon to rocking down to Rialto Newmarket, 4:15 p.m.
BYO 3D glasses?
I hope it's provided 3D glasses because I stopped stealing those and taking them home ages ago. This is a documentary by the great Wim Wenders. It's a 3D portrait of a German artist who makes large-scale sculpture.
Oh, this sounds kind of cool.
It's going to be like, yeah. Oh, there's a point to this 3D.
Yes.
It's to buzz me the fuck out. Okay, yeah. Cool. I will wear the glasses.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, whoa, what's that coming out of the screen?
Yeah.
Makes sense. So good little run to the end I think I've got there. And there's still, yeah, plenty of other stuff playing. You've only got a few more days. So hoon over to nziff.co.nz. Have a look at the program. For God's sake, get some culture into you.
Yeah. That's the spirit, Steve. All right. All done. Thank you, Steve.
Oh, one more thing. Monday night, TV3, The Traitors.
Oh, The Traitors. This is the big local show of the year, correct?
I think so. And this is kind of the first big get a bunch of celebs or quasi-celebs together show that feels like it's cast well enough to really kind of do that thing. Some celebs, some civilians, Paul Henry, and this game based on mafia, not the real mafia, the game mafia, where a bunch of all these people are holed up trying to figure out who the traitors in their midst are, so they can win a bunch of cash. I've watched the UK version of the show. The format is so good. People start losing their minds after just a few days. Because, of course, everyone's running around going, I'm not a traitor. Oh, they did that. They must be the traitor. And it kind of sounds a bit absurd. It is a bit absurd. But they will start to go a bit wonky. And it's going to be so much fun to watch.
All right. Well, looking forward to seeing who's in this show. Who knows? I guess, has it been announced?
Yeah, there's
been
a couple of some cast. There's a cast announced. Matt Heath's in it.
Oh, yeah.
Colin Mathura-Jeffrey's in it.
Yes.
I'm just going to scroll down to the surnames. Oh, there's one starting with V.
Yep. We'll find out next week.
Yeah, cool. All right. Well, we'll see you all in a watching party on Monday night. I'm going to have a couple of pals over. I think this will be a really fun one to watch with a group of people and have a bit of a laugh. The Traitors, Monday. Perfect thing after being a complete culture snob at the Film Fest.
Some good hearty TV.
Indeed. All right.
We'll see you next week, Steve.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.